For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Limiting beliefs, the bars to your invisible cage. So today we're going to talk about limiting beliefs and how they can be the bars on our invisible cages. Maggie Wool said, whether it's fears or just our ideas about how the world works, inbaked ideas shape how we behave and how we interpret what happens. These limiting beliefs can hold us back from trying or undermine our efforts in our relationships. So what are limiting beliefs? They come from the stories that you tell yourself that you think is absolute truth. And many of us hold on to a lot of absolute truths, whether it's about ourselves, about certain ideas, how you interact with people, how the world works. The beliefs can hold us back. They imprison us by keeping us from trying because of our fear of rejection or our fear of failure or our fear of change. And these limiting beliefs start at a really young age. They can start at 2 years old. And often they get more rigid as we age. I don't know about you, but look around to the people around you. It's probably not us in the room. But people's beliefs get more and more rigid as they get older, it seems. So I had a limiting belief that if I let friends get to know me, they'd reject me. And that belief came in seventh grade because my best friend told me I didn't fit in the group anymore. And since that time, I've been constantly doubting whether people really want to be my friends. And so for many years, I quit trying and I just focused on my work and my family. And I didn't even try to have friends. So my limiting belief changed my life, but it wasn't for the better. They stopped me from forming healthy relationships with people. They were based on a fact that I thought was true, but with 20/20 hindsight, I see it was false. Not everybody in the world is going to reject me. You know, some people may reject me, and they're probably the people I shouldn't be friends with because they're not the people who are like me. And even though I know that many other people would not reject me intellectually, it was really difficult to get out of my comfort zone and to reach out to potential friends. You know, I knew I could make friends, and but deep down there was this scared little seventh grader who just didn't trust that it could happen. And so what did I do? But I gave up before I even started. I sabotage friendships by holding people at arm's length and by not putting in the effort you need for a friendship. And for me, the limiting belief was just a defense mechanism to keep me from being rejected again. And I put boundaries on my relationships that kept me in my comfort zone, but didn't allow me to be a good friend. So limiting beliefs can really have a major impact on our lives. And a lot of times, we're not aware of them. Some of our limiting beliefs say, I don't have time to do that. We can choose what we do with our 24 hours, 7 days a week. But we say, I don't have time to meditate, to learn piano, to learn another language, to do something that has been a dream of mine, but I haven't started yet. Or we tell ourselves, I don't have the skill. You know, for years I said, I have no eye-hand coordination. I can't play tennis and I can't play golf. And my sister, Mary, encouraged me to play tennis, and I really wasn't so bad a year ago when I tried it. So all of those years saying, I can't do this, I was believing it and not doing it. Or I don't have the strength, whether it's the emotional strength or the physical strength, to do something. Sometimes our limiting beliefs tell us we don't deserve love. Or they tell us we don't deserve success in however we define success. So let's take a look at where our limiting beliefs come from. First, they come from our family values and beliefs. You know, our parents and other family members teach us limiting beliefs, often with us not even being conscious that this limiting belief is being instilled into us. So many of the beliefs that you have that limit you aren't even yours. They were passed down to you. You know, a grandparent may point out the difference between us and them, whether them is rich people or another race or another religion. And then we get a limiting belief about how we got to stay separate from that other group. Or mothers may pass on the belief that it's the women's role to take care of others before taking care of yourself. Anyone get that one? My father passed on the belief that I must know everything and do everything to be enough. We get lots of different beliefs from our family. We also get beliefs from culture and from our life experiences. My grammar school experience gave me a feeling that to this day I remember. And for many years, that experience dictated how I interacted with people. I was pushing people away. And if you believe that you must do everything to be enough, you don't have the time or energy to just be there for people. So I've spent years examining my limiting beliefs so I can learn to cultivate friendships and fulfilling relationships. Another limiting belief that our culture tells us is that it's weak to ask for help. Let's have a show of hands of who likes to ask for help, who's comfortable with asking for help. And I'm not seeing one hand go up. That limiting belief keeps us from reaching out when we could use help, even if it's just a little help. And because we feel like we must be independent to do everything for ourselves and for everyone else, we often can't accept help when it's offered to us. Even when we need help, you know, like your arms are filled with packages and someone says, can I carry that for you? No, no, I'm okay. When actually life would be just a little less stressful. I mean, that's a little stress, but a little less stressful if you said, sure, can you take these two, and instead of struggling to get everything done yourself. And then limiting beliefs come from our education. You know, when you're learning from a teacher or your friends, you absorb their beliefs. And the more you like and respect the teacher, the more likely you are to believe whatever they tell you. And that's why the culture wars today are about what can be taught in school are so important to people. Because this could be creating a limiting belief, or it could be, instilling a belief that you don't want your children to have. And so these beliefs are just really, really important. So we all have limiting beliefs. Sometimes they're exhibited as automatic habits that we don't even question. For example, a limiting belief that was instilled in me growing up on the South Side of Chicago was that black males are dangerous. And I have a habit of tensing up whenever I'm around a black male and kind of keeping myself at a distance. And for many years, I didn't even question it. I was just keeping myself safe. I didn't see it as a microaggression that I would tense up, but it was. But teaching at the prison shown me that that belief that all black men are dangerous is false. You know, I've been teaching in the prison for a couple of years now, and I feel totally safe in the room that's about 50% black males, 50% white males. And people are like, you go do that by yourself? And yeah, not everybody is a bad person. So I can see that limiting belief isn't true. And when I'm walking down a street and see a black male, I remind myself of that so I don't clench up and just relax. And you know what? I've never had a bad experience with a black male in my 68 years. So why am I thinking that's true? So we all have those things that happen. And if we really pay attention, that our limiting beliefs can just reveal themselves. Like that one revealed itself to me. But usually you have to take a step back and think about your daily life. So here's some steps we can take to uncover our limiting beliefs. The first one is to just reflect on your behavior and then write down your limiting beliefs. It's good to have them written in black and white. And I see I forgot to bring paper, and nobody has paper, so we won't be writing them down, although those on Zoom may. And if you do have paper, feel free to do it. But you'll evaluate your behavior can help you see what causes your, where your limiting beliefs are. And as you explore them, you might want to look at them in general. You might want to get more detailed. You want the personal ones. You want to look at the vague ones, but you especially want to look at the ones you feel very strongly about. So we're going to take time to reflect after each of these questions, to just reflect on what limiting beliefs might there be in my life about this. So think about times when someone hurt your feelings and you needed to speak up for yourself. What was your reaction? Did you speak up? Or did you walk away from the situation without letting the person know how you felt? Situations like this can show you might have a limiting belief that you should avoid conflict at all costs. But that actually negatively impacts your relationship because you're not being true to yourself. And it's really not kind to the other person because they don't know that they did something wrong. Think about the times you wanted to say no, but you said yes. How did you feel? Taken advantage of? Resentful? Unappreciated? Here, your limiting belief might be that unless you do everything someone asks of you, you're not enough. Think about when you're trying to do something or thinking about doing something that challenges you. Learning a new language, trying to get a new skill like a hobby, doing artwork or knitting or crocheting or learning a new sport. Or picking up the phone to call a friend. What stops you from doing, from getting started on that challenging thing? And when you think about it, whatever stops you, is that a fact or is it a limiting belief? What about when you make a mistake? What kind of self-talk do you do when you make a mistake? And what's the belief underneath that story you're telling yourself when you make a mistake? I can never change. I'm stupid. I'm slow. I'm not good with people. And again, we tell it to ourselves like it's a fact. But really, it's not. It's a limiting belief. So the next step, after you've reflected a little on your limiting beliefs, is to assess the accuracy of those beliefs. Is it true? Is it partially true? Did it used to be true? Is it the other person projecting their faults on you? Often our limiting beliefs feel real. It feels really real that I can't play tennis. But it's not true. I just haven't developed the skill yet. So a lot of things feel real. So we don't discount and say there's what's wrong with you for thinking it, but they're actually not true. And so we want to investigate them to see whether or not they're true. You know, the rejection I had in seventh grade reflected on my worth, or so I thought. So I was never enough. I had to do everything and know everything, and still I wasn't enough. So if you think that rejection reflects on your worth, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with you. If you believe that you're selfish because you put your needs on par with others, you're not. If you believe you don't deserve a fulfilling life or you don't deserve love, you do. Philip Tetlock in The Super Forecasting, The Art of Science and Prediction said, beliefs are hypotheses to be tested, not treasures to be guarded. How often are we guarding these beliefs that we have when they're just hypotheses to be tested? And part of testing that hypothesis would be reframing it. The way you look at challenges can train your mind to see the positive in everyday situations rather than the negative. Instead of trying to prevent getting hurt, look at how you can promote your own growth. You can have a preventing mindset or you can have a promoting mindset. For example, saying, that didn't go well, what can I do better next time? You reframe what you're currently seeing as an obstacle as an opportunity. What can I do better next time? That allows you to see possibilities instead of feeling hopeless. Adam Grant, the author of Think Again, calls this problem cognitive laziness. I like that term, cognitive laziness. What if we could change our sense of what's possible? What if we could reframe our assumptions about goals that are impossible to achieve? This kind of thinking is not easy, and it requires discipline and consistent habits. So it's really challenging to identify limiting beliefs because, first of all, we have to get out of our comfort zone and look at something that's not comfortable. But it's even harder to overcome them because the devil we know. Beliefs have a super hold, making them hard to let go of. We need more and more and more and more evidence before we'll change a belief. But with our biases, we usually look for information that confirms our belief. So sometimes we hold on to a belief because we don't want to experience the vulnerability it requires of not knowing. Not knowing to me is the scariest thing in the world, and I don't ever like to admit that I don't know something. Because I like to be certain. I like to know what's going on. It makes me feel like I'm in control, when really I'm not. So we'd rather be certain even when it's painful. Just like Sue said, the quote, "We'd rather be right than happy." It requires getting out of our comfort zone. My comfort zone is in being right. Out of my comfort zone is saying, "I don't know." And to stay in my comfort zone, I grab Google all the time because I like to know. So we have to look at that. And then you can see that, you know, being right's not so important. Maybe it's being in a relationship is. So you might want to explore, how do you benefit from your limiting beliefs? Our limiting beliefs cause us pain and suffering, but we cling to them. So we must at least think we benefit. You know, how would we benefit? Well, it keeps us where we're at, keeps us comfortable, keeps us certain. And then think about, who would you be if you didn't believe your limiting belief? When I started answering that question, who would I be if I didn't believe that people wouldn't like me? I liked the picture of who that was. And how would your life be different if you didn't believe it? And I liked that picture too. And that's those two answers to those two questions might be the motivation you need to loosen your grasp on that limiting belief and maybe even let it go. And then the other question to ask yourself is, what's the worst that could happen if you took the risk instead of staying in your invisible cage? We're all living in an invisible cage. And once we can see those beliefs, we see those bars, maybe we can take some of those bars away and expand our life. So the pathway out of limiting beliefs that imprison us is mindfulness. That's what it was for me. If we keep paying attention, suffering keeps waking us up, telling us, look at this, look at this, look at this. And once we see the bars, they're no longer invisible. There are some times, I admit, where I think, why the heck did I start on this mindfulness journey? Sometimes I think it would be a lot easier just to be dumb and happy. But you can't unsee what you've already seen. And I know in the long run, in reality, I'm happier seeing the negative things and dealing with them rather than letting them be unconscious, but yet impacting my life.